Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Continuing our look around the AFC. And today, to help us through that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Jeff Zrebeck from The Athletic, who covers the Baltimore Ravens. Jeff, what's going on? Thanks for taking time to join us this morning.
My pleasure. Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
We are great. Appreciate you for being with us. So let's just start on the Lamar Jackson front. How big a talking point, and I guess maybe for lack of better term, how big of a distraction is the contract situation with Lamar Jackson heading into this season for the Ravens?
Yeah, you know, it's obviously going to be a big talking point when you're talking about a player of, Lamar Jackson's stature. But I don't know how much of a distraction it is, just because, you know, the way these negotiations have gone, where, you know, Lamar Jackson has no agent, and the team, Eric DaCosta, their GM, is sort of negotiating this contract with him directly. And the team has been so careful not to put anything out there, or to watch what they say, and to do everything of that, because, you know, they don't want to, you know, this guy, either way, whether they get a deal done or they don't, this guy is their quarterback, and he's going to be their quarterback. And if they have a good season, he's going to be a large reason why. So they've put very little out there. They don't address it much. I don't think anybody outside a small group of people really even know what's going on in there. So I don't think it's been a huge distraction. But look, the deadline for the supposed talks, where they'll cease if they don't get a deal done, is in the next couple of days. They just said it's before the start of the regular season. Obviously, they'll ramp up for week one starting Monday. So if they don't have a deal done by then, it's probably not going to get done until the off season at the earliest. So, Lamar will be asked about it. There's no question. And every time he plays great, everyone's going to make that the talking point, how much money he's making, how the Ravens blew it by not signing him earlier. And if he plays poorly, it's going to be the opposite. He should have took the deal that was on the table. So that's kind of the situation they're in at the moment.
What's your sense, Jeff, for him as a player in this offense this season? You know, where things go from here?
Yeah, you know, they're denying it, but it seems like they're very much getting back to the 2019 formula, when, you know, Lamar Jackson was unanimous league MVP and led the league in touchdowns and all that. They did not replace Marquise Brown after they traded him. They did sign DeMarcus Robinson, but he's more of a, you know, kind of a number four receiver type. They're loaded up on tight ends. They got a kid in the fourth round out of Coastal Carolina, Isaiah Likely, that's going to have a major role on offense. They built up the offensive line. So, it looks like they're trying to replicate that 2019 full formula, where they ran the ball a ton, spread the ball around to kind of group on unheralded receivers, relied heavily on their running backs and tight ends in the passing game, and, played good defense and special teams, and that was enough. Obviously, the Titans ended that season for the Ravens, but they were 14-2, so it worked then, but we'll see. You look at the receiver group, it's not going to wow anybody, so a lot's going to be on Lamar Jackson still if the Ravens are going to have a successful season.
Jeff Zrebeck from The Athletic on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Jeff, with that in mind, what's your view of Rashad Bateman here in this offense as he enters into year two?
Yeah, I like everything about Bateman. You watch him practice, and he does everything like a veteran. He's a real no-nonsense guy. He takes everything very seriously, works very hard, doesn't waste a minute on the field. I think he could be in line for I don't want to say a breakout year, but I think he'll improve steadily. You know, last year he missed so much time with the injuries, and then when he was healthy, Lamar Jackson wasn't. So it was sort of hard to gauge where he was at there. But he had a pretty good training camp, and he's healthy, and I think he's in line to have a really good season. The skepticism would come just from the fact that, you know, the Ravens' offense isn't really conducive to receivers having big years. And that's sort of, at least non-tight end, you know, pass catchers. So that's sort of the issue there. But if you just look at Bateman individually, I think he's put himself in position to have a very good year.
Meanwhile, I would have just guessed, based on watching him in college, that Tyler Beatty would be a nice pickup for the Ravens, but apparently not. He gets cut. I guess Kenyon Drake is a possibility here coming in. You know, Dobbins a little bit banged up. What's the running back situation? How surprising is that Beatty made such little impact?
I think it was a little bit of a surprise for two reasons. One, the Ravens view themselves as a draft and develop organization. The draft is the lifeblood of what they do. They absolutely hate cutting draft picks early. And they moved on from Tyler, and then you add in just the fact that there is opportunity there in the running back room. There was plenty of opportunities there to kind of win a job, and he wasn't able to do it. You know, it just kind of was a struggle for him. He flashed a couple times, but didn't really do a whole lot in terms of breaking tackles. And you know, I'm not ready. I like him. I what he did at Missouri, you know, that's not an accident there. He was obviously a very productive player in the SEC. I think there are size concerns. There is a reason he was available in the sixth round. But I wouldn't write the end of his future yet. But there's no question. I think for this offense to be as good, you know, this offense is going to be able to run the ball regardless. Greg Roman's a fabulous run designer, and Lamar Jackson's the quarterback. So they're going to be able to run the ball. But for them to be an elite-type offense, a top-of-the-league-type offense, they need to have, you know, really good running backs. And, you know, the group just hasn't come together yet. You know, J.K. Dobbins is working his way back. He's battling. He looks better every week he's been on the practice field, but it's just not there yet. And who knows, when you're talking about a major injury, who knows? Will it come back at midseason? Will it be next year? You just don't know. But right now, he's out there working and trying to get in position to play in week one, but I think it's fair to say he's not going to be the J.K. Dobbins that he's going to be when he's, you know, fully healthy, knocked off the rust, and in fully good shape. Gus Edwards may not be back till midseason. He was the other running back that has a knee injury. So right now you're looking at, maybe not 100% Dobbins, Kenyon Drake, Mike Davis, the veteran who was let go by Atlanta last year, and then Justice Hill, who's more of a special teams guy. So it's going to be, it's upgraded from the four backs they relied on last year. Three of them are not in the NFL anymore, and one of them's on a practice squad. So it's going to be improved from that group, and they still were able to run the ball enough last year, but they need higher than that. The bar needs to be higher than that for them to have the type of offense they need to have.
So, Jeff, assuming that they have better luck health-wise this year than they had a year ago, and I think that hopefully is a safe assumption, how much of a threat do you think this Ravens team is in an AFC that is now loaded with all the moves that took place this offseason?
Yeah, you know what? One thing you could pretty much have been able to count on the Ravens is, you know, in just about every year, they're consistent and they're in it. You know, you're going into December and they're at least, you're looking at them as either a candidate to make the playoffs or playoff team. I don't say this often about them, but it just feels like there's a lot of boom-bust potential. You know, like, it could, if Lamar Jackson comes out with something to prove, he's annoyed about his contract, some of these injury guys get back better, and, you know, we all know Lamar's capable of just putting the team on his back. He showed that in 2019. He showed that through the first half of last year when he was, you know, before he got injured and all that. I think there'll be a major threat, but you look at the other part, you look at the roster, and it's flawed in a lot of areas. And then when you kind of look at the prospect of counting on so many guys coming off major injuries, you start to wonder, man, if some of these guys don't come back and they're thin in this area and they sustain a couple more injuries, it could be a tough year, but we know they're going to be well-coached. They're always well-coached. They do have a relatively deep roster in a lot of places. They're always going to have one of the best special teams groups in the league. I think their defense is a young, you know, kind of a good mix of vets and young that'll keep them in most games. So I think they deserve the benefit of the doubt with their history that, you know, they're going to be there at the end with a chance to be a playoff team. But I'm not ready to start putting them up against the Chiefs yet and the Bills yet and the Bengals yet. I think, you know, it's fair to consider them below those teams when you talk about the AFC hierarchy.
Yeah, on that defense, like you said, it's a mix. You got the very familiar names, you know, Campbell and Peters and Humphrey and Queen and guys like that, but some new faces too. What's the ceiling there? And, you know, David Ajabo, Kyle Hamilton, what do you think about them as rookies?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first part, it's very much a work in progress. I mean, they're going to have two outside linebackers on their roster after 4 p.m. today. I mean, they only have three, and Ajabu's going to go on IR. They're hoping, you know, he tore his Achilles in the pro day, you know, right before the draft there. So maybe midseason David Ajabu, and he could be a big addition for them if he comes up. I think, you know, Owe, the first-round pick last year who had 5 sacks as a rookie, but was bothered last year a lot by kind of a nagging shoulder. I think he could be a breakout candidate. There's certainly pieces you like. They're pretty loaded in the secondary. I mean, the safety, I think the addition of Marcus Williams, they've really lacked that ball-hawking safety who can cover a lot of ground for the last several years. They've been mostly playing with 2 strong safeties, and I think that's hurt them at times. So I think they'll get back to kind of being a team that can turn teams over more, is a little more, you know, is more solidified on the back end and has a bunch of versatile pieces there that can do some stuff. But I think the question on the defense is going to be, can they generate a consistent enough pass rush with what they have? And right now, you know, when you're relying on Owe and Justin Houston and you don't really have a whole lot else at that outside linebacker spot, I think the questions are fair that, you know, you have to first, they're going to have to prove they can consistently get the passer, because no matter how good your secondary is, they're going to give up plays if the quarterback's not, you know, doesn't have people in his face and isn't rushed.
All right, Jeff, last thing for you here. How has John Harbaugh been able to become the greatest preseason football coach in the history of the NFL? And should there be some sort of award named after the Ravens after winning 23 consecutive preseason games?
No, I don't think so. But, I mean, I think the thing is, I've never personally written a story about it. You know, I'll tweet it when they win, and I don't really make a whole lot of big deal about it. I think it's funny. I think it's interesting more than anything. I think some of it is completely overstated, the narrative, a little bit, in terms of they act like, I mean, you guys probably saw the Titans-Ravens game in the preseason this year. The Ravens didn't play anyone. They didn't play anyone the entire preseason. I mean, I think they played 2 starters the entire preseason. So it's some of the narrative that he goes all out to win these games is a little much. Now, does he coach to win when he's in it? You know, if they're holding a lead, will they send a blitz in the fourth quarter? Yeah, that's just always been how they played. But I think a lot of it speaks to, you know, they take undrafted free agency so seriously. They put so much into that. They annually have a strong undrafted free agent class. Those are the guys playing in the fourth quarter of these games where many of them are decided. And then they have these athletic quarterbacks you're bringing out. You know, even the kid this year, they had Anthony Brown, the undrafted rookie from Oregon. You know, he's a heck of an athlete, and you're playing him against guys, many of them are going to be out of the NFL. So they've been able to have that guy, whether it's Lamar Jackson, whether it's RG3, all these quarterbacks that are, you know, very good and very athletic in these preseason games and playing against guys that probably aren't going to be in the NFL. So that's helped too, but I think it's funny. I think it's amusing. I do think they take some pride in it, but I think the narrative that they go all out and they're playing all these starters and they're pushing and they're, you know, doing all these different things to try to win these games is a little overblown.
Jeff Zrebeck from The Athletic, our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. Jeff, great stuff, man. Really appreciate you making time to join us this morning.
Always enjoy talking to you guys. Have a good rest of the week.
Absolutely. You as well. Jeff Zrebeck, our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. We'll continue the conversation. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rexro, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexro, 1025, 1063, The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Thanks to Jeff Zrebeck for joining us in the last segment. I disagree with Jeff. I think there should be some sort of award given out to the Ravens. 23 consecutive preseason wins. John Harbaugh sending all-out blitzes in the fourth quarter.
Lamar Jackson playing.
Lamar Jackson in disguise.
Yeah.
Different jersey.
I think that was Lamar Jackson out there. Yeah.
Brought Ray Lewis out of the stands.
Johnny Unitas. It's a winning culture. It's a winning culture is what it is. I mean, look, you gotta have some fun with that.
You have to.
Yeah.
I'll say this.
Pretty amazing.
You know, we had Jay Morrison on yesterday, and people were talking about, man, well, the Bengals, they just seem like the perfect team out there. Jeff described some holes in the Baltimore Ravens team.
No, he put a little bit of cold water on that. We need to do this. Like, before I make any picks, I need to, like, do an interview with everyone, you know?
Get a
better sense, because I have definitely a better sense of the Ravens after that interview, and it's interesting. They've got a lot of guys who are banged up, so now you're counting on full health. I mean, even like Ronnie Stanley at left tackle.
Cousin Ronnie.
Like you said, you know, Ajabo, you know, from Michigan was a really good player, but, you know, what are you going to get out of him? We saw what Malik Willis did to Kyle Hamilton. And anytime a team has the pass rushing question, can you generate enough pass rush? That worries me about a team. You know, it's part of why I'm optimistic about the Titans, because I don't think that's going to be a question this year. And I think they got a lot of different sources of pass rush, but, you know, the Ravens, you could see them being sort of okay on D, and then it's very interesting what he said about their offense, whether they are saying it or not, going back a little bit more to leaning in on Lamar Jackson as a runner.
I have concerns about them from the same standpoint of the Colts in that, I mean, I guess you'd argue with the Titans, but to a lesser degree, wide receiver, what do they have? Rashad Bateman, I feel okay about him heading into the second year. They traded Hollywood Brown. Beyond Bateman, what do they have at wide receiver? That's going to be really interesting to see how Lamar Jackson makes that all work this year.
Yeah, you do have Devin Duvernay.
You have Duvernay. He's okay. You also have Mark Andrews, who's very good at tight end.
Your top target. But, yeah, I agree. It's not a great group. And they need good running backs. And he went through all the different guys who were banged up and everything. I actually thought when they got Tyler Beatty, I'm like, God, that's great for them. I love that. But obviously he wasn't good at all. Apparently he averaged like 2 point something in preseason games, and so a surprise cut there.
So we've gone through a couple of different writers for other teams that have broken down the AFC. It's going to be nuts in the AFC this year. There is a piece out on theathletic.com projecting win totals for teams out there in the NFL. And, you know, obviously the Bills are the Super Bowl favorite. We had Joe Biscaglio on last week. He's a part of this. Snidman up in Green Bay is a part of this. You're a part of this with the Titans as well. And it is interesting, Joe, I'm scrolling through these win totals right now, and with the lines that have been set, there's a whole lot of overs being taken in this piece out here. Whole lot of overs.
I mean,
I don't know if I've run across one that's not an over yet.
You know, I made fun of Kaharski for being a homer earlier, which he just loves. He handles it well. But honestly, I mean, you can look at what I wrote here on the Titans, and when I read it with everyone else's stuff, I'm like, I sound like such a homer. I really do. You know, and yet I think I'm right. I mean, the Titans, first of all, this is the Austin Mock thing. So,
yes.
Right? So this is win totals based on his 10,000 simulations. Don't know all the criteria, but
they got the Titans at 8.6.
Yeah, so the Titans at 8.6. Now, anybody in here, I should probably take it easy on ripping coworkers. Can we get Scott Powers on the show?
Yeah, come on.
Scott, will you talk to us yet?
We need to talk
about
to
your
you.
Norris ballot. But they're like, you can't say that's about right. So there are a couple that are exactly on the nose, win total, like six. And I guess we were asked to say over or under.
Right. If it's 8.6, you can be like, oh, that sounds right.
And there's a couple writers on here who like had that, like 7.3. Yeah, that sounds about right. 7.3 sounds about right. It's either seven or it's eight. Like, you can't have 7.3. So I'm yelling at them, first of all. But also, Well, look, like Jared gets all worked up about the Indiana media, or Indianapolis Colts media.
Which is in Indiana, yes.
Yeah, well, that's true. But this is what happens. Like, if you're – and it's a little different for me because I'm not a Titans beat writer. You know, I'm not always there all the time like some of these people. But if you are in a camp of the team, unless the team is just dog water, like, you're probably going to have a little bit skewed view of how good that team is. And now you may end up being correct, but I went through this and I'm like, boy, there is some, like, we're going to revisit this at the end of the year, And there's going to be some people who look like blatant homers. I mean, I don't want to pick on anybody especially, but let me just go to like the Denver Broncos, which is a team that I'm not like I like, and obviously they got Russ, and it's very intriguing. But their projected total is 9.4. Nick Kosmider, who covers the Broncos for us, says, I got them winning 11. I can see a 10-7 finish for the Broncos, but outside of an injury to Wilson, I have a hard time seeing them falling under 9-4. It's like, I don't know, man. In that division? You know?
Yeah.
The thing about the Titans is 8-6, and I said, this is what I said. This is a pretty easy call on the over. Basically, I said, this is a 10-win team, and on and on and on. But at least I have, like, the AFC South, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, like, I'm counting four wins, and that's probably a mistake, because, by the way, the Titans didn't win all four of those games last year between the Texans and the Jags. They went 3-1. But, like, the division helps the Titans. All these teams in the West, I mean, but, you know, it's going to be ground. There's going to be some teams. Most people took the over on this, which I was like, my gosh.
We'll continue the conversation and look at the around the league. The win totals posted in this Athletic article. If some of these are right, this is going to be the best year of all time in the AFC. It's going to be amazing how many winning teams there are out there.
Well, it's going to be like little kid football. Like, everybody wins. Everybody, you both get wins.
You're all winning all the time. We'll continue that discussion coming up next. Tune into the College Football Game of the Week on 102.5, 106.3 The Game this Sunday as Florida State takes on LSU at 6:30. College Football Game of the Week brought to you by Twin Peaks, home of 29-degree drafts and wall-to-wall sports as well. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Talking Titans, welcoming your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Discussing a piece at TheAthletic.com, the different win totals have been listed out for teams around the NFL. Joe Rex Road has taken a part of this as well. And, Joe, I'm looking at this. The highest win total projection on this list is the Bills. I don't think that's a huge surprise to people. They're 11.6 in this piece that's been put out on TheAthletic.com. And Joe Biscaglia, who we had on the show last week, has them at 12, so slightly over on that. The Packers are at second on this, which is kind of strange to me.
And your guy Schneidman takes the over.
Takes the over on 12, I guess. I mean, the Cowboys.
And by the way, shout out to John Machota.
Yeah.
Who takes the under.
Yeah.
Yeah, how are the Cowboys the third?
I mean, I guess their division that they play in.
The division is a factor.
Probably helps. But I guess you can make the same case for the Packers there, too.
What is the number for the Titans on this? So they are
they're 8.6.
Right, but what's their number in terms of ranking?
Oh, man. They're down probably in the middle of the pack. Let me look.
They are. Oh, my God. They are 19th.
19th.
So they're after the Patriots, and they're after the Cardinals, and the Dolphins, and the Eagles, and the Saints, and the Broncos, and the Vikings. I mean, it's something else, man. It's interesting. And again, I'm not sitting here saying Titans are going 12-5 again, but 8-6 and 19th in the league, like there's a disconnect here. And you know what? Maybe it's just going to be homer exposure in a few months, but it's. Like, I think some of this stuff is overblown on the disrespect and the Colts love and all this stuff year after year that we hear about. This year is Vrabel's probably just loving this stuff.
Oh, I'm sure he is. I mean, look, the Titans, and this has been something for a long time, that the disrespect game that gets played. It is kind of amazing, though, for a one seed last year, how much of it there is this year. Like, and it's some of it is understandable. We talked about the Derrick Henry part of it yesterday. A.J. Brown gets traded. The last image people have in their head of Tannehill is him being awful and throwing three picks in a playoff game. So I understand some of it. Quite frankly, I expect some regression to a certain degree. So I get it. But they're like the Titans for a lot of people heading into this year are kind of an afterthought in the AFC, which is pretty amazing for the team that was the best team in the conference last year in the regular season.
Like, I think in some past years, it's like the, yeah, like just afterthought, I don't know, market, boring, whatever, you know, stuff like that. But, yeah, there's a lot of factors that go into, you know, A.J. Brown, Tannehill, et cetera, et cetera. As I wrote in my homerific part here, the thing here's here, I'll just quote myself exactly. Quote, the thing many are missing on the Titans is the potential for their defense to be outstanding, especially with the corner group improving, end quote. And I think that's the part where there's a huge, like, other than like the whole, like, Malik Willis might take over Tannehill's spot from national media, like, the Titans' defense is where, I don't think it's totally excusable.
It's laziness, I think, for the most part. Like, there are people talking about, like, the pass rush for the Titans. And look, I don't know if DeNico Autry's hurt and he's not as good this year. You know, if Harold Landry got paid and all of a sudden he's not the same player, if Bud Dupree can't figure it out, then maybe the Titans don't have a good pass rush. I don't know. But I don't know how you could look at how they ended the season last year and with Jeffrey Simmons still there and not think that they're at least going to be pretty darn good at rushing the passer. I still think a lot of people have no clue who David Long Jr. is. Zach Cunningham, you know, he moves on from Houston, now is here in Tennessee. And then there are young players at corner. It's like a lot of it is people just don't know who these guys are with the Titans.
Amani Hooker is another.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you're here, he's good. Outside of here, do you know? I mean, unless you're an Iowa football fan, you know, maybe not. But, I mean, every team has some unknowns like that. It's still just – it's a bit weird. It is. And, I mean, for them to be – 19th, and this is a simulation, but I think it's kind of consistent with a lot of just general prognostications out there.
Well, we've started to see the playoff predictions have started to roll in, and you're going to see more of them over the course of the next week or so before the regular season begins. But I've already seen, like, a lot of people, they do not have the Titans making the playoffs. They've got the Colts winning the division. They've got either three teams from the West and two teams from the North making it, or vice versa. But A lot of people are not going to pick the Titans to make the playoffs this year.
They will be overwhelmingly not picked to make the playoffs. You know, the great thing about football actually coming is, look, last year we may have talked about, you know, them being, I think last year they were the most picked that they've been in a long time, right? That was the most hype season, all that stuff. But we still thought it was because their offense was going to be great. And I don't know about that D. Do they have a pass rush? Worst third down defense ever. And I mean, what we thought they were going to be last year, they weren't. They were good in different ways. But there are a lot of people who stepped up who, you know, Deontay Foreman, Dontrell Hilliard, et cetera, Long becoming a good player. Just a lot of things you can't predict. And there's going to be surprises, good and bad, this year too.
There's going to be surprises, good and bad. I mean, and look, this happens every year. Like, people keep talking about the Titans' schedule too, right? Well, this schedule is really difficult. And on paper, it is. This happens every year. Like, we looked at the schedule, that swing last year was the Rams, and they had the Saints right after it. I mean, and at the time, Derrick Henry was
hurt. They go 2-2,
they'll be living right during that stretch, and they won all four of them. Like, there is going to be a game or two this year that you think the Titans are going to get smoked in, that they roll in there and win. And there's probably going to be a game or two where you think that they're going to just roll and they lose. That's what happens in the NFL. Now, you're hoping if you're the Titans, you can avoid the Jets and the Texans of last year a little bit more often this year, because there are some – the thing that's different is there are some darn good quarterbacks that they're going to be going up against this year. But this happens every year with people getting way too caught up in what the schedule is for a team before you're in the NFL.
Well, and I told somebody the other day – the thing is, I look at this schedule, I find the toughest games now, and I was like, okay, they'll win those. Now, Commanders, there's a problem. But look, it is a tough schedule. First-place schedule, that's what happens when you get first place. But if you sweep the Jags and Texans and you take care of the freaking Giants in the opener and don't come out and lay an egg like you did a year ago,
yeah.
The Commanders, I just found six, okay, on the way to – them needing, you know, to me, like, they're a 10-win team. I just found six. To me, there are swing games. Like, I don't like their chances at Buffalo. Now, they go win that game, I'm not going to be shocked, but I picked the Bills. I picked the Bills to win every game this year.
Yeah, you did.
But the swing games, Raiders coming in here, Broncos coming in here, road trip to the Eagles.
Yep.
You know, Cowboys coming in here on a Thursday night. You know, take care of those. well, I just got you to 10. And then there are like the super, what I think are the super tough games, like at Buffalo, at the Chiefs, at the Packers on a Thursday night, at the Chargers. I don't think they're going to lose all those games, probably, but like they're going to lose one of, at least one of the games I just mentioned. And then, you know, you split with the Colts. So now I just got you to 11.
Well, that's the thing. So much of this season, to me, is going to come down to how do you fare in those two Indy games? Is it a split? Can you win both? Certainly, if you lose both, you're probably in trouble at that point in terms of the division race. But so much of the season, to me, comes down to how you play in those two games. That's why, I'll continue to harp on this, I absolutely hate that they're playing two times in like 3 weeks. On the 2nd of October and then the 23rd of October, it's absurd that the Titans and Colts are playing that close together in the regular season. Then from October 24th on, you won't see the Titans and Colts play each other again the rest of the year. It's stupid.
I don't understand why they can't figure this out. Like, you got to step back as a schedule maker. Your computer, like, get a human in there who says, these are clearly the two best teams. This is a huge race. The division is going to come down to these two teams. One of these games needs to be late.
Yeah.
It's insane. It's so ridiculous.
Liam on the text line says, the Titans are being underrated in part because of their loss in the playoffs, but I don't get the Colts' love. Their last loss is at least as bad. Why isn't getting blown out by the Jags in a win and end game considered as damaging? I still feel like this is the Titans' division to lose. This is from Liam on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Well, remember who stunk it up that game and who isn't there anymore at the most important position. I mean, that's the answer. You know, the answer is
but their offensive line was also atrocious in that game.
But that's supposed to be better. We'll see. There's still some questions there. But still, the answer, Liam, is right or wrong. And they may be wrong, but the answer is that Matt Ryan's in, and some people believe he's going to be great for them this year.
Some people believe he's like the second coming of Peyton Manning out there, yeah.
Right. Like it's going to be Matty Ice MVP Part 2. But that's the answer, and we'll see if how that turns out. I think it's just going to be they're very similar teams. They're very, very close in quality, I think.
615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll continue the discussion on the Titans. Got more of your thoughts to get to on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, talking Titans and welcoming your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line and welcome in Crazy Bill, who wants to weigh in. Bill, thanks for calling in.
Hey, guys, appreciate you taking my call. Just a little twist in the whole thing about the defense and everybody saying that. Is Coach Schwartz still advising the defensive coordinator?
Yep. He still has a role, yeah.
I'm going to tell you, if you guys don't realize this, he is a key component to that defense being as strong and as prolific as they were last year. And as long as he's in there, we're going to have a kick butt defense, and no one really talks much about him, but he was a head coach and he was one fine defensive coordinator for Jeff Fisher. Anyways, go Titans. And I'm kind of scratching my head on some of the receiver things, but maybe we'll get through this. I'm thinking maybe nine wins this season. I'm out.
Hey, thanks for the call, Bill. I appreciate it.
That's still an over. That's still over.
That's an over.
The Athletic. Well, we have talked about Jim Schwartz.
Oh, we've talked about Jim Schwartz.
I have no doubt that he's some kind of a factor. I'm a big believer. Whenever we get into that stuff, coaching is really important. But I'm a big believer in what Vrabel says a lot, which is, man, it's players.
Yeah.
It's players. It's not plays. And there's a lot to all this. But you had Autry addition, you had Simmons taking a big step. You had Landry having his career year. You had an actual pass rush because guys could win their, you know, one-on-one battles and get to quarterbacks, unlike the year before when they had absolutely none.
Sure.
But, yeah, I mean, coaching, I don't think you can just dismiss Jim Schwartz as a factor.
No, no question. And look, he's a great resource to have in your room. I don't think there's any question about that. Now, I think what happened last year was maybe a little bit too much credit Jim Schwartz's way. I mean, that's going
to
happen.
From some. Yeah. It's just say, look, it's hard to, and Vrabel's not entertaining it. He's not addressing it.
No.
And just wait till this year. The Titans offense makes a big turnaround.
Oh, I know.
Todd Downing may be lacking for praise, even if he deserves it. I mean, that's how it is when you add people like they have.
I got a texter that says, what is it that the Colts do, or why are they always considered to be a contender that the Titans don't seem to be able to do? Not always in the conversation of being atop the South. Colts seem to be able to lure high-profile quarterbacks. Not that they're paying out, but they have something we don't. Is it the GM? That's coming from Joe.
Well, first of all, Joe, I mean, the question that should be asked is the Colts asking, what is it the Titans have that they've won the last two AFC Souths and we haven't? I mean, so it's great. I mean, I know, understand that what we do is sit here and talk sports all day, but, like, who gives a crap? I mean, go play the games. Well, the Titans have won the division 2 years in a row.
Also, the prolific quarterback thing. I mean, they got Phillip Rivers at the end of his career, who, by the way, I thought played well for Indianapolis, and then that was it. Called it a career. They got Carson Wentz, who at times played well last year and at times was brutal. And now Matt Ryan, and we'll wait and see what happens. I mean, Matt Ryan, quite frankly, the last couple of years has not been very good down in Atlanta. So we'll see what happens on that front. Like, the true high-profile quarterbacks that the Colts have had have come via the draft back in the 90s, Peyton Manning, and then Andrew Luck as well.
Right.
And they've been searching for it ever since, and they haven't found it yet.
And
maybe they have with Matt Ryan, but they haven't found it to this point.
And on that last night of 2018 when they came in here, and, I mean, shoot, the Titans hung in there with Gabbert at quarterback, but I remember thinking, like, when's the next time the Titans going to win this division?
Yeah.
Because Andrew Luck was still their quarterback, and, of course, they've been scrambling since he bailed out right before the 2019 season started. So, look, they do have a good roster. They do have a lot of good players. They have arguably one of the top two running backs, I think, in the league, along with this team. So it's not like they have nothing going for them. I did want to get to a personal text line because we were talking about the 2020 draft and our friend Jared Stillman, who just calls himself Jared. I just kind of realized that some of his, he's just saying, hey, everybody, it's Jared. When you say, hey, it's Jared, I think it's Jared from Subway. Is he like Madonna, the one word guy?
I get LeBron.
He gets one word status in this town.
I guess so.
Well, it's going to be Stilly and Pauly someday. So you should start saying, "Hey, it's Stilly, everybody."
T-shirts galore.
He got mad at because you were talking about the 2020 draft, and I said accurately that the 2021 draft was a lot better. Jared says 2021 was a horrible all caps draft. None of these guys have contributed like Fulton has or even Jackson did. Maybe Weaver makes it, maybe Farley makes it, but the rest of it was horse bleep. Well, it's early, but you know, Farley is a starter ish player right now. Raiden's no doubt disappointment. Rice, we'll see. Molden's a good player. Molden played all year last year, pretty freaking good as a rookie. So I mean, right now I've already got a better class than 20. Rashad Weaver, we'll see. I believe that after this year, that will be looked at very favorably. Dez Fitzpatrick, not a good pick. Racy McMath, actually, that's got a chance to be pretty decent. So it wasn't a great draft, and I think this draft right now is trending to be better than last draft, but there's a huge gap between 20 and 21, right? Am I missing something?
The problem, and the most fascinating part about this discussion to me is, like, 2020, I think, is going to go down as the worst draft that maybe the Titans have ever had, certainly that John Robinson has had. And the year before that was awesome.
Oh, the best.
2019. Like,
well, the best maybe, or 16? What's better?
I think 2019 is better.
Yeah, 19 is better depth-wise. But 16, you did get Henry and Byard. And Conklin. And Kevin Dodd. But, Kevin Dodd. 19 was amazing, really. Like, excellent.
So, like, stacking those two back-to-back is pretty crazy. Now, look, I'm interested to see, like, does Chris Jackson, does he get picked up somewhere else? If not, Are the Titans interested in signing him to the practice squad? Like it feels like to me Murchison's just gone at this point.
Yeah.
I think
that's probably true. And I would answer definitely yes if he's out there. I think they'd love to have him in the practice squad, and he will be if no one picks him up.
Talking Jackson.
Chris Jackson.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And look, he's a guy who if they had to it's good for them that they've got the talent level where it is at corner now. Because we've seen Chris Jackson play a lot of football for this team the last few years. Hadn't always been great, but at times it's been fine. So it's good to have him not make the roster in terms of what that says about your corner group.
Dennis on the text line says, saying the Colts get prolific quarterbacks is like saying the Titans get prolific wide receivers. Randy Moss, Andre Johnson, Julio. They get them after they were prolific. That's coming from Dennis on the text line.
That is true. I don't know that I'd put Rivers. I mean, he threw for like 4,200 yards. Like, I wouldn't put Rivers quite in like the same thing as Moss and Andre Johnson, especially here. You know, that's super.
I mean, but think of done. Like 2012. You look at a Colts fan and be like, yeah. In this millennium, you've got Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck, Matt Ryan, Phillip Rivers, and I guess at one time contending for a league MVP before he got hurt, Carson Wentz.
I mean, at one time we thought a lot of him. That's an amazing pantheon. The thing is, the Colts deserve a long period of bad QB luck.
They really do.
When you go Manning, Luck, back-to-back.
Yeah.
You know, tank a season to get Luck.
Yeah, I mean, I can't wait to see how long, whenever Rodgers is done, the Packers go without finding a quarterback like that.
I mean,
that.
They are absolutely owed the same damn thing.
They owed like 55 years of just terribleness.
The roar shall be restored.
Expecting, I guess, some more moves. John Robinson and Mike Vrabel speaking today, so we'll see what happens on that front. But, you know, with Julius Chestnut making the team, they got 5 running backs, they got 7 defensive linemen at the moment. My guess is at wide receiver, with how thin it is right now, probably a move coming at some point at wide receiver for the Titans here in the not-too-distant future.
There has to be a wide receiver move. There has to be. And I think there's a good chance of a tight end move and offensive line, we'll see. I'm pro Marcus Johnson. Not just to argue with the secondary host of the Stilly and Pauly show. I'm pro Marcus Johnson. I understand.
I would love to know, and honestly I didn't keep up with it, so there's some research that will be required here. I would love to know whether or not he remained healthy at 49ers camp.
Yeah, based on what I'm seeing, I think he went through the camp. And, yeah, look, maybe at some point all those injuries, like you lose a step, and that's possible. So if that's the case, then I'll change my answer. But as a guy you could plug in right now and you're a little bit of a pinch, I think you could do a lot worse than that.
That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace coming up next. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.